Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I lied. I got one more question for you. Going to put you on the spot here.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo's coming up. Who's been your best backup?
Oh, man, that's a tough question.
Here's Garoppolo looking for Kittle. Now throws for Breida. He's got it in the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Garoppolo, Jimmy G, right on time to Breida for touchdown number two.
Second and eight on the 21. They're going to motion Coleman to the side of Garoppolo in the gun to the right. Dante Pettis back in. He's okay. He's out wide left. Juszczyk goes in motion. Here's Garoppolo back.
Kittle.
Throws over the middle. George Kittle, touchdown! San Francisco! You saw that right away.
Garoppolo saw it the whole way, split those two safeties, and really threw Kittle open. The ball location was behind Kittle for a reason as he had to turn around. Easy touchdown, great read.
Ah, that did happen last night. Niners Browns, now I remember. And that quarterback for Niners, what's his name again, Miz?
Jimmy Garoppolo, that's G-A-R-O-P-P-O-L-O. Garoppolo, the galloping chicken.
Garoppolo! Ow!
That's who that game was about last night?
Garoppolo!
Okay.
20 for 29, two touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating. Most importantly, I seem to have misplaced the number, Maz. Again, my internet jammed there. What, Jimmy Garoppolo's record as a starter, do you happen to have it?
Yes, that's 12-2. 12-2.
And so when Jimmy Garoppolo starts a football game, his team is 12-2.
Correct. They win 6 out of every 7 games that he starts.
Okay, Tufts, what's that winning percentage again?
It's high. It's like 850. It's about 85%.
So he just keeps winning.
He does.
Interesting.
No matter where he is, who he's against, doesn't matter what uniform he's wearing, Jimmy G should really be Jimmy W.
Murray, your thoughts?
The 49ers have a hell of a team right now. That's for damn sure. The defense is legit. That was a great game for Nick Bosa, who was really the star of the game last night. He was the most dominant 49er. If anyone actually watched that game, didn't just look at the stat line of the game manager quarterback. Bosa, 4 total tackles, 2 sacks, 21 yards, 2 tackles for loss. The defense had 4 turnovers. So their defense, excellent. Running game is excellent. They're scheming that up. Kyle Shanahan's done a hell of a job there. So they're getting good complimentary play from the game managing quarterback, which is smart. You can't ask him to do too much. You saw that last night. There was a couple of plays he got away with. So the Niners look pretty good right now.
Game managing quarterback. Did you catch
that? Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's new. That's new for him. He had to come up with that.
No. That's just what my eyes tell me. Like, that's what he is. That's what they're asking him to do. Like, they didn't really ask him to do a whole hell of a lot. I watched that game from whistle to whistle last night. He looked okay. Game manager. They don't ask him to do too much. And the 2 touchdowns, the guys were wide open. So what else do you want from me?
Well, look, it's in a lot of ways, I agree with Murray. That is what they're asking him to do.
Well, last night, for sure.
Yeah. And you know what? It's smart. Guy's coming off a knee injury. He's not going to be his typical self this year. He still finds a way to win, oddly enough. I mean, just again, 12-2.
Well, when you have a defense like that.
85.7%.
You play a dumb team like the Cleveland Browns, who seemingly get stupider by the week. I mean, it's easier to get those kind of wins, especially when you have played teams like Tampa, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. All 4 suck and blow. So it does tend to be a little bit easier when you're playing bad teams like that. Say, you can say the same thing about the Patriots, because I know you want to counter with that. Patriots have played nobody, too. But at least the Niners stay unbeaten. So credit there.
It's getting hard over there, Maz. It's squeezing him over there.
I mean, I'll
it's
tell you what.
It's getting harder and harder.
I don't know about you. I'm already allowing myself to fantasize. I think we have a race. Jimmy's starting in San Fran. Tom's starting in Boston. Who gets to Miami first? That's sort of how I look at it. I think we have duel going on here between these two.
That team's not coming out of that conference.
You know what? I'm not sure of that. I think they're pretty good. That defense is legit. And, as much as I love Garoppolo and I love the story, Boy, does Kyle Shanahan know how to scheme up a running game or what?
It's lovely, isn't it?
In fact, I'd go so far as to say the whole Shanahan family. What is it with the Shanahans and the ability to run the football?
So, remember when they traded Garoppolo and Bill said he's going to a good coach?
Yes.
Bill knows exactly what he's talking about. Shanahan's scheme, not just the running game, the whole scheme, the word I would use, it's lovely.
He's got
a nice scheme. Now, I don't know about, you know, his play calling in a tight spot. I don't know what sort of head coach he is. And again, scheme is different than play calling, right? Andy Reid has a beautiful scheme too. But when you get into the nuts and bolts and the bullets are flying in a game, he can't coach his way out of a paper bag. But his scheme is great. So I'm not telling you I know anything about Kyle Shanahan as a coach in game. Rubber meets the road. You know, when we saw him in action in that Super Bowl, it wasn't so pretty. So he may still suck at that. But his scheme, and I just want to compare the two quarterbacks last night. And I've said this to you in 10 questions. If you put Baker Mayfield in Shanahan's scheme, don't you get a whole different Baker Mayfield?
No question about it.
And, you know, you build around him, and whether you have a running game or not, like Shanahan's scheme. Like, the Kittle guy is...
He's awesome.
I was going to say kid. I think it's his third year. But the Kittle kid, he was only a fifth-round pick. So it's not like he's one of these highly tight. He was just a guy in the draft.
Yeah, they got lucky, though. He's a damn good player.
Or is it a lot of scheme?
It's both.
Because I think they scheme it beautifully. Fullback is, I think, and again, he got hurt last night. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce the name, and I don't know what his health is after the game because he went out with that knee injury. But, like, that sort of old, sort of Bill Walsh, West Coast kind of scheming, how they throw to the fullback, use the fullback as a fullback and an H-back and a tight end, and they scheme the tight end open. Like, that's all scheme. Is George Kittle, physically speaking, an elite talent in that league? Like, he might be the best production tight end in the league, but who's the guy with the Giants, the young kid with the Giants?
Evan Ingram.
Okay, that was a first-round pick. He was a first-round
pick,
right?
First round pick, yeah.
And he's a freaking stud. Like, his skill level is through the roof. George Kittle's not that. I think Shanahan schemes him open. And, well, he did break a bunch of tackles last night for first downs late in the game. All I'm saying is a fifth-round pick. He was just a guy coming out of the draft. And now he's one of the best tight ends in the league. I think it's Shanahan has a lot to do with that.
I mean, look, that offense, again, you watch them and they're fast. Like Breed on that touchdown run to start the game, he blasted right through there and nobody was going to catch him. And I like what they've done in the backfield because, he did this in Atlanta. Shanahan did when they had – I say he did it. He didn't build the roster there. But when they had Freeman and Coleman together, that was a great tandem. They had one of the best run offenses in the league that year. I think they were fourth in the league. I looked it up this morning. Now he comes here. They have the number one rated offense in the league. All the backs can catch it. Breida can catch it. Coleman can catch it. You mentioned earlier that Jerick McKinnon, he can catch it. They're in the backfield. They're loaded.
And I think the coach, again, the scheme. There was a fourth and one play that they ran where they, kind of recreated. They motioned a guy out here. Then they ran him back around on this big, deep motion around Garoppolo. And it was just a simple inside handoff.
And they gashed it, too. They got like 8 yards on it.
And they picked it up easily. But they created all this sort
deception,
of motion
really.
And it was that's just purely scheme. They're not just like Andy Reid the night before had a key fourth and one with the Chiefs where they just full, you know, power eye, turn around, hand off straight up the middle, disguise nothing. Shanahan was in a similar fourth and one spot in the first half last night, and he ran this guy out here and motioned him in back there, and it just Garoppolo has a chance because of the coach he's with. Bill was right day one. And Mayfield, on the other hand, has no chance.
Oh, he's going to get ruined if he's not already.
No chance with that coaching. And I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll reiterate it. If I'm the league, I'm stepping into that Cleveland situation and doing an intervention with Jimmy Haslam, the owner, and saying, you can't do this. You have too much talent. You're too important of a team. That quarterback has too much talent. You must fire Freddie Kitchens, and you must hire a real football coach who's going to install a real NFL offense like Shanahan. And I think there's a perfect example of it's not just the quarterback and their individual talents, because I think Mayfield might be more talented than Garoppolo. But one guy has no chance, and Garoppolo has been given a chance because of the scheme of that coach and how they play.
I mean, Garoppolo last night was 20 for 29. He had 181 yards passing and a rating of 108.5. And he was a sidecar in that game. He was. Murray's right about that.
There's still, just to assess him, because I watched the whole thing too, Murray. There's some balls, the ball still comes out really nice. It's just smooth, man. And he'll throw these deep outs, you know, which it doesn't look like he's got a big arm, but he'll be on the right hash and the guy will run, Goodwin will run like a 15-yard out on the left side and he'll put it right there. And he throws some balls that you go, wow. Yeah, I mean, he didn't even wind up. It's just that great little release that he has. That's still there. I think he gets lazy sometimes because he dirted a couple balls on guys who were wide open. Because he didn't set his feet or...
He backpedals. He falls out. He falls backwards in some of the throws. He still does it.
Yeah, they can tighten that up.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can play. I'm sorry. I don't know. You don't think he can play, Murray?
No, a bit. He's a good game manager.
Are you coming around at all? Any movement?
In terms of what?
Can he play?
Yeah, I said he can a bit, yeah.
So you are coming around a little
bit. Can a bit.
Can a bit, yeah.
A bit.
A little bit.
It's getting tighter over there, Maz.
I'm telling you right now, the Rams are going to finish third in that division. San Francisco last night to me was an eye-opener with that defense. They smothered the Browns. And remember, this is a Browns team that went into Baltimore and ran over the Ravens.
Who's first in that division, over. Maz?
Seattle, right?
Yes.
No. The Niners are first.
No. Who will finish first?
It doesn't matter. It'll be one of those two. They'll both be in the playoffs.
It'll be Seattle.
Yeah. The Rams are finishing third. That's all I'm telling you.
Maz, that helmet fits you a little bit better than
much
it did the
better.
Last time.
Yeah, no, I did. I put a little padding in it. It sits on the head much better.
So you went home and worked on it?
Well, I just put a piece of styrofoam in here today. Took it out of a shipping box, no problem.
You did the whole segment. For those that not watching at home, you did this whole segment with the Garoppolo jersey and full helmet on.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm telling you, this helmet fits well now. We're ready to go, babe. Let's go. Niners. Jimmy G, 4-0. Brady, 5-0. Here we go. Meet me in Miami.
Just as an aside real quick, it's good for the league because that is, I'll always look at that as one of the marquee franchises. That's the first time in a long time I can remember that place being loud and banged out.
With the Niners matter. You know, they mattered for like 10 minutes with Harbaugh there for a couple of years, but that was a quick up and down. Other than that, since we were kids, when's the last time they mattered?
Oh, it's been a long time. Yeah, and look, there was a lot of hype when Garoppolo went out there with the Brady trade, you know, with the Patriots trade and everything else. If they were to get to the Super Bowl and Garoppolo plays Brady, oh my God, you think it's going to be Super Tuesday for you?
All right, thoughts on Garoppolo, and oh, by the way, Jacoby Brissett looks pretty snappy too. He's winning ball games. Can you get to the point where you say, actually, Bill knows how to pick quarterbacks now?
12-2, those three guys. 12-2.
Brady, the three guys being?
Brady, Garoppolo, Brissett. 12-2. All Belichick draft picks.
Tells me something. I don't know. What are you so scared of Bill picking the next guy? Feels like, I don't know. You got three guys right now that are going to be in the playoffs,
yeah,
I think.
Give you two words. Ryan Mallett.
All right. Your thoughts on all of it, including Baker Mayfield. More on that coming up right after this.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver. All the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Man.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Mayfield taken down again as he just gets rid of the ball. And it was Bosa. What a first half out of this rookie. And did you see him going with that flag motion there? If you remember what happened back in college, it was Mayfield who planted the flag up at Ohio State.
And so Baker Mayfield also invites this sort of crap because he's such a yapper. which I don't really mind, but when you're the Cleveland Browns and you suck, this all comes back to you, and it just makes it worse. So Nick Bosa, who played for Ohio State, he was there when Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma went out to Columbus and beat the Buckeyes and then did this thing in the post game. They even got all hot and bothered about it. He took a OU flag and waved it at center field, you know, in the midfield, and then planted it and sort of mocking the Buckeyes. Bosa remembered it, and last year he mocked the Baker last night he mocked the Baker Mayfield waving the flag and then planting the flag and gave it back to him. And then he did it again in the post game with the Niners flag and like had himself a time. And then after the game, really sort of gave it to Baker. I sort of enjoyed Nick Bosa, the cocky prick. This guy in the post game. Here's Nick Bosa in the post game.
So you planted the flag. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think everybody knows what that was for. Just wanted to get payback.
How long were you
coming?
How long were you thinking about that? Like, when did you come up with that idea?
Probably during the bye. Me and my buddy Sam, who plays with the Bengals, played DN with me that year. And I told him I was going to do it, and then he was like, "Hey, I was going to do it when we play them."
Did you practice it at all?
I kind of did. It was a little. I was thinking, like, do I need to practice it? Is it going to look bad? But yeah, I practiced a little bit in my room.
Did you watch like clips? Because there was a video of like side by side, and it was almost
it was pretty accurate. Like, I mean, the image was in my head pretty good, so I kind of had a good idea. I was kind of trying to talk. I don't usually talk, but this game, he had it coming. So, but he didn't say one word back. So,
what would you say? Just an example.
I was just screaming his name, like, Baker, Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want a challenge. Like, stuff like that.
So this was throughout the game, not just
on. Yeah, and he was just looking at me like.
Can you tell when a quarterback is starting to rush things a little more and get out of rhythm? And did you see some of that tonight?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how anybody thought he would be able to see over Eric and Buck, but he was panicking. He was double clutching, rolling back and forth. We had him rattled all game.
Okay. Laughing at him. Basically called him short there.
I think Mayfield brings all this on himself. And, you know, look, there's talent there. I admire the competitor in him. I think the guy's a tool. I do. I think he's a complete tool. I said this about Kyrie Irving. Anybody who wears a headband, you're a tool. And then this guy is right on the list.
Okay, but if he had the right coaching.
No question.
In the right system, then his hard-o act works. You got to have confidence and you got to be a leader and all that. I think he has those things. Bill loved him. Loves him.
Yeah, he would have beaten some of it out of him, though.
Exactly, of course. Yes, yeah. If he had the right environment.
Because, again, the whole cocky thing only works if you actually play well. And the other thing I don't like, there was a strip sack in that game. He just held the ball out there. I mean, he just flaps the ball around waiting for him to get knocked out of his hand. He's, you know, he does need a coach. I get that part of it. I'm not dismissing that. But he needs someone to – he needs a legit – big-time coach who will put him in his place or he's going nowhere.
But to me, it's a classic example of what you're surrounded with, what your coach is, what your scheme is. I don't think Mayfield has a chance. I don't think he has a chance with what's going on in Cleveland. All right, to your thoughts, as promised. Pete and Everett. Go ahead, Pete.
Mikey, I told you 3 weeks ago, Jay Gruden was going to lose his job. The next one is Freddie Kitchen for Cleveland. Mike, that was the easiest 500 I made last night on that team. And what do you think of all those dog pound fans this morning? How many fights did they have in those bars last night?
It's just
Michael, and I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You're a good guy. I like you. Baker Mayfield, right? He's got a big mouth. And not only that, everybody around the NFL knows what happened last night. You never shook hands with Sherman. You give the old razzmatazz to Boozer. 2 years ago, Boozer got him last night pretty good.
Okay, I mean, Bosa.
That last thing's not true, by the way. There has now been another clip that's come out. Baker Mayfield did shake Richard Sherman's hand. So Richard Sherman completely made that
he
up.
He did. It was on the it's been on Twitter all day.
He made it up?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, the handshake is it's brief. And now, you know, and then apparently Sherman was asked about it again. And Sherman made a comment to the effect of what it was, a respectful handshake.
Oh, I see.
Or something of the like. But you know what?
But he made it sound like he got straight up snubbed.
He did. He totally made it sound that way. And it's like, you know, get over that too, Sherman, for crying out loud. So, listen, the Mayfield thing, you know.
They said it last night in the broadcast. At this time last year, Freddie Kitchens was coaching four people. He was in charge of four people. He was the running backs coach.
He's not going to be the next coach fired, though. My money's on the guy in Atlanta for
that
one.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, Dan Quinn.
All I'm saying is.
Useless.
What are you doing?
He's useless. Freddie Kitchens is useless.
What are you doing? With that roster and the money you've spent and the names you've brought in there and the draft capital and the capital that you've invested in that team, you hand it over to a guy who was in charge of four people last year. You can't, you just cannot do that.
Isn't that, when you really think of it in those terms, you would invest as much as they did in that team, right? You took on Brock Osweiler to get picks. You did all this stuff. Jarvis Landry, Beckham, all of it, the amassing of picks. And then you turn it over to this Jamoke?
Unbelievable. Dan in Cranston for Jim Murray. Go ahead, Dan.
One thing real quick. The Patriots play the NFC West next year, so we'll have an apocalypse either way.
Nice.
But, Jim, I do love you, man. But so let me get this straight. If he's a game manager and a system quarterback, okay, if it's so foolproof, when he was traded, they were 1-10, and then they won the last five in a row. Okay, last year he got hurt. And they went 4-12. Now they're 4-0 again. So you're telling me it's just the scheme. The quarterback has nothing to do with it. Making the reads and making the throws is just as part of the scheme.
Murray?
No, it's mostly been about the running game, and their number two pick was the most impactful player for the Niners last night. That would be Nick Bosa, who we just heard from. No, he's looked pretty good, and they've played crap. So that's why they have a 4-0 record. That's all.
I mean, by the way, I don't mind system quarterbacks. I like system quarterbacks.
Right now, Brady's a system quarterback.
I liked Brady back in the day when he first came out, and he was a system quarterback. Game manager? If I have a good coach and a good scheme, you know what I want my quarterback to do?
Don't screw it up.
Manage the scheme. If it's a good scheme, manage it. That's all I want. If I were the Niners and they're getting the running game going like they're going and the coach is scheming up all this crap, the last thing I want is my quarterback running around like a jackass, you know, trying to make plays out of his ass when the play is there drawn up on the sidelines. Hand it off, go to the open guy. That's what I would want.
You mean the last thing you want is for your quarterback to be Aaron Rodgers?
Or Baker Mayfield. And it's, so to me, game manager is a compliment.
Yeah, he's making just enough plays and, you know, not screwing it up. So that's me being complimentary towards Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know what else you want.
But there's going to be a game. Murray, people know what you're doing.
No, I'm being firm but fair.
No, you're being sarcastic.
Well, I'm being 100% accurate about that Niners team.
I mean, I would say especially coming off the knee, if they lean on Garoppolo to carry them, I'm not sure he can do it.
Well, he's going to have to do it sometime. So, I mean, there's going to be a game where they don't run it.
Sure.
I mean, if you want to stop the run, you can stop the run. You put an eighth man in the box, you just do that, and then it's going to be on his shoulders.
And I will look forward to that game.
And then we'll see what he's got.
Yep, we will.
Tim in Holland on the Patriots. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it would affect Belichick and Brady's legacy at all if, you know, they go undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl again just to lose it, possibly to Garoppolo.
I didn't like that one, that laugh.
So, honestly, I'll leave the Garoppolo part out of it. That's sort of a separate topic. If they were to get back there and then lose it again, would it alter their legacy?
No. Hell,
oh, on some level it would,
no,
Mike.
It wouldn't.
When you say alter, they're still going to get on as the greatest, but you don't think it's going to be somewhere up high in the Wikipedia page?
No.
They blew two 16-0 seasons?
No.
Oh, I
No, the greater accomplishment is that they got to yet another one and they won six.
Oh, no, that one's hard to outrun.
Nah.
If it happens twice.
Okay, we're getting to some of the league stuff. What does the Sunday night game in Kansas City mean? What does it mean? We'll get to that after Murray's update.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
And they go back into a rolling right side as Jacoby Brissett looking pump fakes. Now he's going to run to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Brissett. Touchdown, INDY. Jacoby Brissett spikes the football, and the Colts have the lead.
And then we have Indy KC. So what are your thoughts on this, Maz? Murray?
Well, I mean, if you go back to the 10 questions with Greg Bedard, you asked what was that more about, the Chiefs or the Colts? And I like the Colts. I think their offensive line is maybe the best in the league. That Quentin Nelson is the balls. Their running back Marlon Mack is awesome. But to me, that's more about the Chiefs. That fourth and one play was just so Andy Reid. So you get a terrible coaching mistake. Mahomes has kind of looked pedestrian-ish the last couple of weeks. He didn't even have any touchdowns against Detroit the prior week. They're really banged up. They get banged up in that game. The offensive line's a sieve. The defense still stinks. You can run it right down their throats. They got a lot of things to figure out.
I mean, to me, totally about the Chiefs. And so the way they're built, they're not going to be able to stop the run against anybody. I mean, again, they're a team that's built to play from in front. So they couldn't stop the run against the Patriots. They couldn't stop it against the Colts. But to me, the part of the game that's getting overlooked is the Indy defense. You go into Kansas City and you hold them to 13 points? I mean, that's an accomplishment.
There's been a couple stories in the league this year that have renewed my faith in the sport and the league. And the Colts are one of them and the Saints are the other.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your quarterback, you know, your Hall of Fame quarterbacks, your Pro Bowl quarterbacks, teams that you think are the league's all about the quarterback. And wouldn't you know it, these two teams, and not that the Colts have been perfect, they dropped a bad one at home the week before to whoever.
To Raiders. Oakland, who might actually be okay.
Okay, but anyway, you're winning with Jacoby Brissett because of your offensive line and your defense. Like, that's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints are winning because of everything around the quarterback, which is refreshing. It's nice to see that that still exists in this league and that these quarterback injuries have not crippled these teams or crippled the league. And that's really what I was rooting for 2-3 weeks ago, and I didn't know if it would happen, but it's happened. And the Colts are a great story. The Chiefs' defense is a legit issue, man. If they don't score in the 30s, they're not winning. And to me, it's a sort of a bad story for competitive balance because they're still the second team in the AFC. But I think the state of the Chiefs and that loss makes that one game in New England even it's going to be less meaningful. The Pats are going to get the number one seed and going to host throughout. The Chiefs have to come here and beat you. And they don't even have to beat you in December. Because that I don't think that's going to catch. I think the Chiefs are going to drop another couple and you're going to finish ahead of them. So even if they win in December, they're still coming here.
That was a massive loss for them.
It's a big huge. Loss. Big yeah, loss. Huge. The conference record, tiebreakers, all that stuff.
They can't lose at home. I mean, you know, they go on the road and lose. So that can happen. But they can't lose home games.
The third best team in the AFC.
Might be Indy.
It might be Indy.
I wouldn't rule out it. I mean, look at the point.
To me, they have the second coach in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels that way, right?
I think Reich's the second guy.
Again, I default on this sort of thing to everyone does quarterback, coach, and in defense.
Yeah. Coach, quarterback, defense.
I think those are huge. Balance. Those are huge. And like to me, if you ask me of all the teams out there, like who are the candidates? Well, you'd say, well, Houston's a candidate. They don't have the coach. Indy's got the closest to having all three.
Coach and defense.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I believe in the quarterback, but I think Brissett's good enough to not screw it up.
Well, he's a game manager.
Right?
Again, is fine if you're running like that. You might as well. And, like, you know, we mocked Jim Irsay for the, hey, Quentin. You remember that whole
sure.
thing?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up.
So he was talking about, what's his last name?
Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame.
Yeah. Hey, you fired up.
Yeah, man. Like, that they drafted, what was it, like 5 overall or something?
Yeah.
They took this guard way up high.
He's a bad MF-er.
He is a bad man. They showed him stretching during this game. Did you see him doing like the sumo wrestling?
I did.
He was stretching. Holy smokes. He's 300 pounds pliable, like John Hanna.
How's it going?
So this is the Quentin Nelson that you're all fired up for. This is who he was talking
to. Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
I'm telling you, they should be fired up. That dude's for real.
How's it going?
They run behind him. Like,
he was first team All-Pro last year in his rookie year.
Right, All-Pro. Which
one
or, you know, maybe two guards. That's not like, you know, the Pro Bowl where everybody in there, where Max Slater plays receiver. No, Pro Bowl, All-Pro is there's one or
best
two
of
each.
The best.
That's it. As a rookie. And then Costanzo there at left tackle, like, that's a legit line there.
Ursay knew he hit the motherlode stash with this guy. Can I hear that again?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
Did you hear Ursay in the locker room after the win?
No.
Oh, he was excited.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was good.
Go ahead.
Just want to say, you know, we have the best fans in the world, and they should really ask their bosses to give them an off day tomorrow. Tell them Jim Ursay said you didn't have to come into work on Monday because you partied so late on this victory Sunday night. So we love our fans.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, good for the Colts. Good for that. I know you don't want to say it. You hate them. They're blah, blah, blah. Like, I got it. They
started deflating.
I get it. I got it. Okay. So, but aside from that, it's a good story. They lose quarterback, and they're still winning. And, you know.
Hey, you fired up.
I am, Jim. I'm fired up by it.
I mean, really, when you weigh it out in the AFC, you say, again, who are the candidates? Baltimore, do they have the quarterback? I don't know.
Brissett, Garoppolo, Brady. I don't know. Are you still worried about Bill picking the next quarterback? I feel like he's on a little bit of a roll, and I still think Stidham's okay. I still think he has a shot to be the guy. Who knows? So, good story. Billy in Rhode Island on Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes, Billy.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. You guys keep saying it wrong. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. But anyways, Maz, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
Billy. Are they
a
dynasty?
Who a dynasty?
San Francisco.
Not now. No, back then, yes.
How many years do you think they will be?
Well, not now. I don't
what
know.
Do you get, Billy, what are you getting at?
I just want to know. He's blowing his team up like he's the Dallas Cowboys of the 80s. I'm asking him when he thinks San Francisco's going to be a dynasty.
I think Maz is excited that Garoppolo's having success. That Garoppolo is fulfilling his destiny.
Yeah, so again, Billy putting words in my mouth that I never said.
And you don't typically get blurred by an old-timer.
No. Well, Billy blurs me all the time. Don't kid yourself. But I know where Billy was going with this, which is Jimmy G is made of glass. He's got a glass jaw. True.
He still has to prove that for sure.
Do you realize that Jimmy G has never played more than 5 games in a row in an NFL season?
I didn't until you put it in the email chain this morning.
Has never played more than 5 in a row in an NFL season.
So this game coming up is like a black cat.
This one's number 5. It's at the Rams, who are angry. They've lost 2 in a row.
Ooh.
So again, look, I think that...
Wait, so now Murray's mocking the Rams. Oh, so they never were in your top... What's your new top 5 again? So wait, but you told us for weeks, there's only 3 teams. There's only 3 teams, Falcon, everybody else sucks. There's only 3 teams.
Yeah.
And they
it's
were
my list. It
who,
reserves
no, no, no. But who were they?
It was the Patriots, Kansas City, and Dallas.
Okay, there's only 3, and now 2 of the 3 are out, right? What's your new top 3?
Well, the top 3 right now is the New England Patriots, the New Orleans Saints, and the Seattle Seahawks.
So wait a minute, that's pretty quick for there only be 3 teams, and now 2 of the 3 are done.
Not done. If you would like me to go further, I can give you my top 6.
Well, no, but anyone can look at the standings and tell you who's 1, 2, 3
right now. It's not about
standings.
I've paid attention to the league and what's going on, and so my list can change. And I look at the iron of the league is the Patriots, the Saints, and the Seahawks.
Is that subject to change?
Of course it is. Well, yeah.
I mean, but after like 1 week?
Yeah, because a lot can change in this topsy-turvy league of
ours. So what changed with Dallas?
Oh, well.
Do they have any big injuries?
No, it just turns out they really weren't that good. I had that one wrong.
All right, so that's not a change. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. No, I was way wrong on Dallas. The quarterback's not that good.
So you don't think Dallas can win the Super Bowl?
I do not.
You don't think Philly can win the Super Bowl?
They're out.
Do you think Kansas City can win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, to me...
they're not done yet.
No, they're the fourth in my rankings right now.
I'm way more encouraged about the league than I was 3 weeks ago.
Yes, you should be.
But I look at some teams across the league now, and I say, you know what? If they won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
To me, I gave it to you last week. I think there's like six teams in the NFC that would not surprise me, maybe more.
Including San Francisco.
Yes, if they're going to be home in the playoffs, if their record gets what it is, you know, where they're trending, you're talking a bye or home dates, like, yes, you're in the mix. You're there.
That environment there last night, that crowd was vicious. I say vicious.
Well,
you know what I mean?
They were, San Francisco?
No, they were intense.
Santa Clara?
They were intense. There was electricity there. You could feel it. I mean, again,
are you sure that wasn't in your pantalones?
No, right. It's possible that it could have just been a blood flow thing. I wouldn't rule that out.
You mentioned the Cowboys. Let's get to them next in our long commercial-free segment.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously. Time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver. All the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Prescott back. Good protection. Deep fade down the left sideline. Over the shoulder for Gallup. Did he catch it?
He did, but he caught it out of bounds.
Oh. Oh, well. Cooper thought he was in bounds. We're looking at a replay. 1 foot. Oh, that's a catch.
Yeah.
Throw the second flag there, yes. Coach Redball. There it is. There's the flag, and there's a penalty flag.
Jason Garrett took his challenge flag, and I mean slammed it into the ground. Threw it into the ground like it was going to dig 6 inches in, like he was planting corn or something.
And?
Scott Edwards immediately pulled the flag out of his pocket, threw it up.
He didn't like the way he threw the red flag?
No, it was right in front of him.
I'm sorry. Bogus. So, fake news. And that flag was thrown in retaliation for something Garrett said that
I don't think he liked the way
judge
he literally threw the spiked the flag.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a toss out,
well,
like it spiked.
You know, it's tough, snowflake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you didn't
that's
like what it, he said.
That's
come
interesting.
On.
I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
No, I don't either, and that's bad officiating in my opinion. If you throw a flag for 15 yards because you don't like what the coach said to you, no, that is over-officious jerk officiating, in my opinion.
Boy, these Texas guys, man.
Whoa, don't tread on to fake news. Well, tough, snowflake.
Snowflake.
That's a good one.
Those guys are great.
Snowflake.
I'm into that.
And you know what? I agree with them.
Me too.
What a ball. 15 yards because you slammed the red flag down a little too hard or said something. What could you have said? Give me a break.
Yeah, no, listen, bad. I mean, you can't, you know, in that league, you get caught up on the moment to be throwing flags every 5 seconds.
So I asked you before, who's the biggest tool bag in that scenario? Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, or the ref? I go ref.
I go Jones.
I go ref.
Snowflake. Well, Jones afterwards.
No, I'm sorry. Bogus. So. Fake news.
Fake news.
Who are these guys? I like them.
So. Fake news.
Tough job, Snowflake. And then, you know, again, the tough guy Texas thing, Jerry Jones is, you know, after the game, he starts complaining about getting a flag for throwing the red flag down too hard. And he was told, no, it was something he said. And there's
the consequences. I'd like to know the circumstances behind it.
They said abusive language is what they said. Officiating.
Oh, I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before. We should all stop the wheel over that if he got abusive language.
It was time for abusive language. When you're frustrated, you can be. Did you say any abusive language in the press box? In your suite?
Okay.
Huh? You have any abusive language in your suite when you were down 31-3?
I didn't sit with Gene today.
The reporter grabbed us. It was a funny line. I hope the little darling didn't hear anything.
I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before.
it's actually a good line.
Snowflake, little darling?
I'm telling you, don't mess with Texas, man.
I mean, where are we, 1970?
No, yeah, in Texas? Try 1938.
Little darling.
So, fake news.
I sort of like the Cowboys. Yeah.
They are America's team.
But my thought on, let me give you a thought on Packers-Cowboys. I don't think either make it through, despite all their talent. And there's a lot of talent on both those teams.
They're both tough, Snowflake.
They're both dumb as hell. Dumb as hell.
Boy, the Cowboys, man. How many turnovers they have in that game?
So they had three interceptions. Prescott had three interceptions. They could have had a fumble, but it was brought back on a penalty, a Cowboys penalty.
Fake news.
No, this is real news. So this is a couple different thoughts. How dumb both those teams are, and it's not going to, they won't get through because of it. But this was one of these borderline unwatchable modern NFL games where the flag was out every other freaking play. 20 combined accepted penalties. This doesn't include declined penalties, of which there were another half dozen or so. So I don't know what the total penalty call was, but there were 20 combined accepted penalties. And then another handful of decline penalties. Constantly, just every other play, there's a yellow flag on the floor, including just a rough list. There were roughing the passer calls all over the place. Roughing on Dallas in the first half that would have wiped out a 3rd-and-9 for Green Bay. There was a 39-yard pass interference on Dallas in the second half that was reviewed and upheld. Weak call, but upheld, as all these are being upheld. Dallas had a false start, 1st-and-goal from the 5. Dallas ran into the punter, down 10 points in the fourth quarter, ran into the punter. It was only a running into the kicker, not a 15-yard, so it was declined. Dallas had a false start on a 28-yard field goal to make it a one possession game that drew brought them back to the 33-yarder, and the kicker missed it.
Of course he did.
Dallas had a 15-yard. You just saw it. The 15-yard in sports look like for the coach slamming the challenge flag. The Packers had an end zone interception that would have salted the game away in the fourth quarter, wiped out by not just a hands to the face, but an unsportsmanlike to boot. Same play. And the hands to the face. I just want to say to the Packers, you know, they call this now. You cannot get your hands up in someone's neck, on their chin, and push their face up. They are calling it every time.
They really are. They're cracking on it.
They're calling it every time on the line of scrimmage. They're calling it every time in the secondary. If you swipe a guy across a face mask, hands to the face. If you block someone underneath the chin, hands to the face. Do you not get it? Is the coach telling you that they're going to call you on this now? They're calling hands to the face incessantly. It's like a virus across the league. Hands to the face.
I mean, Gilmore got called on Sunday too, didn't he?
It's another one. A fungus growing across the league. Hands. I don't know why they put a face mask on these helmets, but they do. If you put your hands up above the neck, they're calling it. And the Packers don't seem to get it because they had a bunch of hands to the face. Again, Dallas would have had another fumble late in the game that would have salted the game away, but the whole left side of their offensive line jumped off sides, and so they luckily, it was a dead ball and the play never went. The one penalty the ref should have called and didn't was a PI on Green Bay on Prescott's last interception, where the Green Bay defensive back was all over the guy, just handsing him all the way down the field. That flag didn't fly for some reason. Dallas in this game missed two field goals, including the one that I mentioned from 33 that would have made it a one possession game inside of 2 minutes. But the one that I think Jason Garrett has been well established as not championship metal. He's just not up to it. He's just a boob. And you can see it in all these little individual breakdowns that Dallas has. So there's a coaching problem in Dallas. There always has been. But I think there is one in Green Bay too. And this kid, the little Skippy Magoo there, the 14-year-old who they hired to coach the team, he might be another guy that has a nice offensive scheme. I don't know. There was a good scheme on Sunday, and when they ran it, they had success. And so I'm not going to complain about the offense when they did what they did. But does he coach anything else? Like, is he going to get to his players? Because down the stretch, his players were roughing the passer, committing unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, and hands to the face all over the field. All up and down the field in that second half as the Cowboys were coming back. Is the coach going to get to these guys and say, you know, they're calling this now. They're calling the hands, get your hands down. And I don't know if he does. And on defense, with the Packers up 31-3, all they had to do at 31-3 was get back on defense, not allow the big play. If Dallas started chipping away with stuff underneath it, fine, right? All you had to do is get back, don't allow big, cheap plays, and make them work their way down the field, and the clock's going to run out. And up 31-3, when that's all they had to do, they left, was it Jaire Alexander in one-on-one coverage? They kept single covering Cooper. They kept single covering the receivers down the field, and up 31-3, just needing to get back. The Packers gave up a 40-yard touchdown throw to Gallup, a 53-yard touchdown to Cooper, another 27-yard ball to Cooper down the sidelines that you just heard there that they brought back on review. And then when they got, the Cowboys got in a first and 25 after the Garrett unsportsmanlike, they completed a 27-yard toss to Elliott down this. The Packers gave a big play after big play when all they had to do was get back and play too deep and don't allow the big play and let the clock to run out. And the coach, who's just an offensive coach and doesn't coach the team, is just sitting there looking at his play sheet. And I just think it's going to catch up to them. It's going to catch up to the Cowboys. I don't care how much talent those teams have. It's going to catch up to them.
Yeah, look, again, I mean, those mistakes typically always come back to bite in the ass. The other thing I'd be worried about as a fan of either of those teams, Philly mauled Green Bay running the ball in that game up there. And Green Bay just did the same. And you know what? Dallas ran on Green Bay in this game, too. I think they averaged 6 yards a carry.
Well, but they were down, you know, early, so they... That sort of took him out of the running game.
Right. So, but that's a point, is that it got hidden, but it's still there.
For sure.
Right? It's still there. And any team that is a little more disciplined that can run the ball on either one of those teams, I think they're going to have trouble.
So, look, I think there are, I mean, the teams that I think that could come out of the NFC, I think the Packers could come out of the NFC. They could. I think Dallas can still come out
of
the NFC.
Sure, absolutely.
I think Philly can still come out of the NFC. I think Seattle, San Fran, and L.A. can come out of the NFC. I think New Orleans might be the favorite to come out of the NFC. That's seven. Carolina wins again. They're finding something. It wouldn't surprise me if Carolina came out of the NFC. That's eight teams. That's eight. That would not surprise me. But if you want to separate, I look at the coaching. And I don't think, I know Dallas doesn't have the coaching. I think Green Bay still doesn't. I know New Orleans does. And I would just sort of, and I think Philly does. I know Philly does. And I would sort of look at those teams and the importance of that. And I think that's what you saw on Sunday in Dallas. Two coaches that just aren't there yet. And Garrett never will be. All right, so that concludes all of our league thoughts. We'll continue with your thoughts on that, the Patriots roster situation and the release of Ben Watson yesterday. We have follow-ups on that as well. We'll get to it right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.